Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hello and welcome to After Things. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Brian Brushwood.
Hello, beautiful people.
Justin Robert Young.
Hello.
Bryce Castillo.
Hi, everybody.
We just watched, just seconds ago, the trailer for Mandalorian.
Yeah,
Brian.
I'm sorry. I can't even talk because my jaw is disconnected. That was extraordinary. And yes, it's just a teaser, but everything from what it communicated about the tone that they're going for, that it's totally unrelated. The whole promise of Star Wars is that it's a big, big galaxy. This is the first anything that I've seen that really feels like it, that it's not about like, is that a Darth Vader wheeze I hear? I mean, it looks amazing. It looks great.
Well, you know, there was a great comment that I remember reading from George R.R. Martin, and he was talking about like the fandom for his books and that he wrote this character where they had a cloak of crow's feathers. He's just a knight that he wanted to write. Like, he just wanted a world of cool people that are at this place, and there's a knight with a cloak of crow's feathers. And that, like, there has been this tremendous fandom around that character, and like he kind of played it off as like, what are you gonna do? You give somebody a cool costume, and now all people want to do is talk about it. And obviously, that's so much of the Boba Fett
right
story, is that he was just supposed to be a cool guy in the background. But when you think about it, when I was watching this trailer, I'm like, no, you want to know what? Like I think there tends to be this like nerds and their costumes kind of like shrugging from creators about it. But you watch this, and you're like, no, we just sense that there's a larger world behind there. We want to know why they have the cool costume. We want to know why they're so interesting, why they are peacocking, and obviously, even for Boba Fett, a lineup of other interesting characters. He's obviously the most interesting. And then you watch this, and you're like, oh, yeah, it's being a bounty hunter in the Star Wars universe is really cool.
Well, and it feels like this takes place. I mean, I know it's been in the press releases and stuff, but it's like for the visuals I see all read as this is the fringes of civilization. These are the outer lands. These are the borders.
After Jedi, so the galaxy is in a bit of disarray, you know, so we enter in another Mandalorian who's the star of this one. You know, and we get what's it like after you blow up the Death Star and all of a sudden, hey, the Empire's completely fallen apart. By the way, the Empire's completely fallen apart.
Yeah, which means I power struggles and local chieftains and warlords and fiefdoms and I there's so much potential. And I think the part that has me the most excited is I believe in all of the talent that we've read associated with this. Is it what's his name? Michael Peña? I'm getting his name wrong. What's the name of the Mandalorian?
Pedro Pascal.
There we go. That's right. From Narcos and directed by
John Favreau.
Yeah, John Favreau, sorry.
Well, multiple directors for each episode. Like Taika Waititi's done episodes. They brought in a lot. Like Bryce Dallas Howard, I think, directed one episode.
Oh, wow.
So we're getting, you know, a really interesting cast of people directing them.
It looks awesome. I'm eagerly the only thing that holds me back is just like, man, in this new, beautiful, bountiful harvest of Star Wars material, like the one thing that they haven't been able to do is the thing that we are seeing now. This looks very exciting, but I don't know how much I can willfully get super excited about it until I see it. I'm cautiously optimistic.
We have good cause to be cautious in our optimism.
Although Nick Nolte is definitely in this, and so is Werner Herzog.
That was Werner Herzog doing the final line.
Yeah. Oh, so that was Carl Weathers. I was like, there's no way that was Carl Weathers. And then it turns out it was. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Baby, you got a stew go.
He's like, do you realize what a value the Whopper is?
Yeah, you know, the thing about Wookiee fur.
Very exciting. And look, Disney Plus, certainly rolled out a lot of their stuff. They're going to push the living hell out of this thing.
Giancarlo Esposito is in it.
Yeah.
That was
in the trailer.
Yeah, they assembled a little murderer's row
of
great television and film actors. Yeah, look, this looks good. Disney Plus looks good. I don't know what else to say other than I'm cautiously, hopefully optimistic.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that we've pulled those six times.
Yeah,
you know, but. Because
I think this is the venue, what we've all wanted here on this show as fans of the extended universe is the extended universe proved you could tell stories that are adjacent to the Skywalkers. It's a rich world filled with complicated problems. You can tell a million different stories that don't have to do with movies that came out in the late 70s and early 80s, right? Certainly this has the iconography. Somebody gets frozen in carbonite, so you have elements and touchstones kind of back to that. But just somebody, a deal went wrong, and now you got to be on the run, and somebody's daughter wants to join the people on the wrong side of the tracks. You can tell me one of these stories. I'm anxiously awaiting.
Yeah. Yeah. I as a trailer... It exceeded my expectations. It exceeded my the only thing is like, well, Disney, but man, I hope. And
did you see that other, not really a trailer, just sort of a bunch of old clips and then like 10 seconds of the new movie?
The what? Wait, which one?
Evil
Star Wars.
Evil Rey.
Yeah. Oh no, I haven't seen it yet.
Mainly, it's a bunch of old clips that you'd seen with moving music. But if you just want to scoot to the last like 20 seconds, you get a display of what looks like an evil version of Rey holding a double lightsaber that snaps into what's his name?
Darth Maul.
Phantom Menace style. Yeah, that's the 3 second clip.
I guess my problem is that like. Those are not the things that excite me. You know, Werner Herzog grizzled telling, it's complicated business being a bounty. That excites me.
Yeah.
You know, not, now it's double. And it's like, it's like,
yeah, look, right. I mean, I don't know. That movie is going to be what that movie is. I don't know. I mean, let's stick with Disney Plus. Like, obviously, there's been plenty of new streaming services. We've already seen a few live and die, like the FX one that got caught up in the Disney merger. But is this like a must add
for all of us? Well, especially at the price that they're launching it at. I mean, that's insane. Really? Really?
Oh, price, $10, so you don't have to listen to us go, did you see this? Did you watch that?
Part of it is that, I'm not big on the Star Wars stuff. The Marvel stuff sounds okay. That's going to be, that's a wait and see on the Marvel stuff. And then as far as the Disney and the Pixar back catalog, I mean, it'd be cool to see all that stuff, but
how about the Jeff Goldblum stuff? How about the Jeff Goldblum show?
When it comes out and I hear if it's okay.
Hold on. Can you Google something really quick?
Sure.
Just Google Jeff Goldblum Spider-Man. He was asked on the red carpet for this event. But it's just national treasure.
Why
this
do you
guy.
Think Spider-Man is such an important part of the MCU? Because there may be a little divorce happening.
No, this is the first I've heard of it. I'm crestfallen.
Christfallen.
Save. What's happening? I didn't know any of this.
So Sony and Marvel are having a hard time coming to terms.
This is at the Deep 23.
Spider-Man. So it's looking like Spider-Man may go back to Sony and not be part of the MCU anymore.
I'm not a business person. You're speaking. Whatever you say is Greek to me, but all these, the mountains of Produchore and
I love this man.
It'll all work out, I'm sure. Good luck. I'll figure it out.
did I ever tell you about you're in LA moment with Jeff Goldblum?
Oh, really?
Is one, there's a bar where he plays music at, and people say if you show up there half an hour early, he just hangs out and talks to you. So I have a lot of friends who've got photos of him and Jeff Goldblum because he talks. I'm going to, I was going to some Mexican restaurant for Cinco de Mayo, and I'm walking along, and I see a couple people just walk up to some guy. This tall guy's got like a little dog on a leash, whatever. And I see him going, doing this sort of thing, like the hands, you know, just friendly, whatever. And it's Jeff Goldblum just talking to a couple people. They're like, oh, we like, oh, nice to meet you. How are you? What are you doing here? How's your day? And he was just what you expect.
Yeah.
What you expect. And he was just on the sidewalk and people just having it. He was just not nothing pretentious about him at all. And I didn't say anything because I'm like, I was just watching the spectacle of Jeff Goldblum. You know, I'm thinking like, what a neat person.
Hey, Jeff, I loved you in Jurassic Park. Oh, what a magical connection the celluloid makes. Me and you, we're here together now, but truly we were together back then, back in 1994.
I did love the story that Jeff B. Davis on Harmontown told, where he had some gig, and so you go to a costume thing at Universe on the Universal lot,
yeah.
And he needed to check out. I need a pair of glasses, and apparently they have the pedigree of each thing that you check out.
Yeah.
And he found he had this pair of glasses, and then realized looking up the ledger that these were the glasses that were checked out to Jeff Goldblum, and he was just like, I'm stealing the hell out of these. Has them to this very day.
That's funny.
So so Disney Plus is a must-get for the rest of you?
Well, yeah, certainly anybody who has kids. The value proposition is just too
well, and also powerful. Anyone who has Hulu. Because Hulu's built into it, right?
Right.
There's a combo deal that will have ad-supported Hulu.
Yeah, which right now I have ad-supported Hulu. Although once I realized how much you pay for ad-less
Hulu. Why would... Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. I bought it because I didn't really use Hulu all that much.
Shame.
But yeah, that's stupid, and I'll be getting the combo because also I have ESPN Plus, so it's like the fact that I'll get that all together just makes sense to me. And Disney Plus seems like a thing that I'm gonna have to talk about whether or not I like everything on there or not. So it's it is a business expense.
Mm. Yeah, I mean. $10 a month or whatever for if I get, you know, if I get a few episodes, few seasons a year that I enjoy, that's worth it, you know, as far as enjoyment. And, you know, we'll see how good the stuff is. The Marvel slate sounds interesting.
Also, you guys do realize that when I get Hulu Plus, Disney Plus, my very first move is going to be to see whether or not under the...
Hacking the system is on there for the Nat Geo catalog.
Princess, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Of course. Dude, totally.
Yes, you should. But yeah, I think that it's the stuff there, the what we've seen so far, like Mandalorian was the first we've seen of an example of what the scale and what they're trying to do for one of these limited series. We haven't seen what they're going to do with the Marvel stuff yet, but I think that felt filmic. If you told me this was the Mandalorian
cinematic
movie,
cinematic. No, that is big screen level cinematic. This is them looking at Game of Thrones and saying like, yeah, we can do that. We can do a Game of Thrones level Star Wars series. And they have, you know, they are at where Game of Thrones, where their budgets and spectacle ended. They're going to begin with that level of spectacle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So exciting stuff. I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's going to be this very fractured sort of future that we live in. And, you know, as we talked about here, the idea that we'll just subscribe to this for a couple months, then go, unsubscribe and go somewhere else, whatever. You know, we'll see. It'd be interesting to see what's the shape of things going to be 10 years from now. And, you know, now with also we're getting more game, like Apple Arcade is launching soon.
Uh-huh. And the rumor is that's only going to be like $5 a month.
And is it going to be similar to the Google streaming thing?
No, this will be more like Netflix. You pay a subscription and you get access to these exclusive games.
Man. Yeah. That's wild.
But basically, this would be a curated. So it's like if you've ever been like, I would like to have more games. Anybody got any games that they like right. that I can play? Like now it's like pay this thing and you'll have a curated supply that you'll never have to worry about whether or not it's worth buying. You can just try it.
And that is really remarkable that we're all sort of, that we have $60 CD fatigue or whatever, where it's like, I don't want to buy games month after month after month. Like,
sure.
just sign me up.
Yeah, you know, there's also something to, I think part of the value of that can be the discovery factor, in that there are a lot of really great indies and other people out there that don't have the marketing capabilities and the larger companies do. And the upside for something like this is that, you know, you a deal with, you know, an Apple, or when, you know, Stadia launches, and they're going to, I think they're going to have some stuff on there that will be like part of come with a subscription, is it can be very helpful, because, you know, you guys know, every day in the YouTube world, you're fighting for attention. You know, you're fighting to get seen. And if somebody isn't invested in your success, then you're, you know, at a disadvantage compared to stuff that's, you know, that's got much bigger marketing budgets, et cetera. Yeah. So
it's interesting. I realized something over the weekend. I was thinking about, remember that scene in Wayne's World when they sell out and they keep throwing.
Is it Wayne's World 2, which I never saw, but
no,
I'm
this
familiar
is the
with it.
First one, isn't it?
No.
Where they're doing the, like, Nuprin, yeah, small,
where
they're yellow, doing, we're doing, different.
Yeah,
Rob
where they're
Lowe,
doing the product placement.
No, yeah, it's Rob Lowe. And Rob Lowe wasn't the villain in the second one, was he?
Yeah, he was.
He was?
I'm pretty sure. I could be
wrong. Rob Lowe was definitely the villain in the first one.
Okay, well, then I'm probably wrong.
But anyway, I was remembering. What? I was, yeah, Wayne's World.
Okay, I'm wrong.
I was just realizing, if you were to do that scene today, it would all be subscription services. Like, or it would all be like the podcast ads of, like, if you were to redo that scene.
Oh, it would be purple mattresses. It would be getroman.com/rogue.
Yes, it would be. I was just trying to think of, like, all right, so what would the crass, because, like, in that moment, it's like Pepsi, right? It's all like the new upstarts that are trying to grab attention in the moment. That, like, it's not aspirin, it's Nuprin, right? It's Reebok, not Nike. It's like all these other ascendant kind of brands. And I was thinking, like, what would you do? And I'm like, oh, they would all be get stuff in a box every month,
right?
Or, you
TikTok.
Know,
they would, yeah, TikToks.
TikTok, yeah.
Because there's a lot of TikTok advertising out there.
Yeah, Walken is the villain in Wayne's World 2.
Beat him to death with his own shoe.
So, I mean, is this sort of thing with happening, sort of like we see in movies, you know, the whole tentpole strategy is becoming bigger and bigger and bigger, where it's the franchises, the big one, the big franchises do that. And then is kind of the other outlet now for really creative indie, or not indie, but smaller stuff, really, is it the smaller screen?
Oh, it's got to be. 100%. It has been for a while, yeah. Oh. And it, what'll be really interesting is to see, I assume, and we've talked about this a lot, that Quibi, the short format distribution platform, is going to probably die because it smells an awful lot like Vessel.
But that's, okay, can we just pause? And we'll get right back to what you're saying. How fascinating is it that this thing is still, because we're like 6 months away
from
this
it even
thing
starting.
Launching.
Right.
We've heard about it. I feel like we've heard about it for 5 years.
Yep.
It's perpetually forever away from now. And almost nobody thinks it's going to be a success. I have yet to hear, like, the case for Quibi.
Yes. So on top of that, though, but here's the thing. With something that big, there has to be something genius in the middle of it. And whether it's genius enough to, you know, recoup the $1 billion that have been invested so far into programming. Something good is going to come out of that. And that's what I'm really excited to find out is, you know, it can't all be terrible.
I'm sure. You know, the whole, it's very 10 years ago. Hey, really short form content. That's the future, because at that point, these 2 minute, 3 minute YouTube videos were doing great, you know. And then you had a few years later, you get like WhatsApp and stuff, and that became kind of a platform. And certainly with Instagram stories and stuff, the shorter form content, but it does feel like, well, let's do a media play to get into this thing that everybody's really into 5 years ago. But Brian, what's the average length of your YouTube video now?
It's getting closer to 20 minutes. They're getting pretty long.
Yeah, we were literally, before we started recording, we were talking about a 50-minute video that Bryce sent me. Like the not only does the algorithm reward it,
right,
longer watch time, but also that's just where we want that. Because we can, to Andrew's point, if you were to say, okay, Katzenberg and Meg Whitman are launching a new thing, and what they're going to do is create short form stuff that also that's going to live inside of Instagram or Snapchat, right? That you're going to follow these things and they're going to have ads appended to them. But like you're going to get a new Steven Spielberg thing that you'll be able to watch in an Instagram story, and then they're going to repurpose it somewhere else. It's like, okay, that makes sense. To pay a fee to watch something that's annoying that I won't be able to watch easily on my television, like, I don't know. Maybe they've got it and nobody understands it, but that's what's fascinating, is that this thing, again, we've heard about this thing forever. I feel like I graduated high school and I started hearing rumors about
Queenie. Well, you did, as J.C. Calhoun points out in the chat, was webisodes. That was the term back then when it was hard to stream stuff, so we had really short streams when we're watching on the desktop. And you had a flood of content that was basically too crappy for broadcast TV.
Yeah.
And like, oh, we'll dice it up into 2-minute sections and people will love it. And I was like, no, this is garbage. This is, you know, I mean, I hope Quibi's great, but like what we've seen before, like, why is it 2 minutes? Why have you set that limit there?
Because that's how long it takes to poop.
Do you guys remember, I don't know if you guys saw 30 Rock or not, but 30 Rock made a joke about like web content and short form media. And so the idea is they would do 10-second sitcoms and they would just be these one joke things. But this is all like before Vine, before like, you know, before anything. So we just watched one in the span of that. But it's weird because at the time it was like this is a stupid idea, but that is what people drifted towards, but maybe not major content, like not Hollywood.
Right.
So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, because we've seen Snapchat has had video. There's IGTV, which is trying to do social video stuff. But
well, you brought Snapchat. Snapchat had a lot of people who were developing content specific for Snapchat. That was a big deal. There was all these content deal talks about so-and-so's developing this for that. And then it ended up being, you know, they didn't have the retention, whatever. And Kiwi's like, oh, we got $100 million ads. Yes, that's the experimental ad budget that every major advertiser has. Like, yeah, we'll put this much towards your platform. Snapchat had that first. And they're like, look at how well we're doing. Like, yeah, then they're going to wait to see how well those ads do. And then you'll see what their follow-up is.
At some point, advertisers, funny story, expect to see results, like an increase of sales.
You know, and that's the thing is, so I'm going to pay, what is it? $3.99 for Quibi, $4.99 for Quibi.
That's the part I can't even.
$5 like, a month with ads, $8 for ad free.
The lack of a free option when your target market is the teenagers. I can't even.
And when we are at a point of subscription fatigue.
Oh yeah,
like we are at a point where now like an average person is like, I do a lot of these. Like, let me take a look. It is easy to cancel. I'll cancel HBO when the shows I don't like aren't on. I'll cancel Netflix when the shows that I don't like aren't on. Like, I don't really care about the library as much anymore.
Because there are no sacred cows anymore. I've been on the verge of getting rid of Netflix for the past 2 months.
Well, especially because you know you can go back whenever you want.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
Netflix, new policy. You're dead to us.
Well, that was a funny... Like my sister-in-law is talking about like cutting the cord, and I was like, yeah, look, just do it. Sign up. She's like, oh, I don't know which of these things I'm going to pick. I'm like, literally pick one out of a hat. And if you don't like it, guess what? Today you can cancel it to sign up for the next one.
I mean, that's
and they have trials.
We've talked about this on Cord Killers, where it's like my standard advice is cancel everything, all of them. And the moment you feel the slightest impulse to want a thing, sign up for that and then do it for as long as you want or buy it. Like lately, I mean, it's astonishing. Once you free up that $100 to $180 a month that you're currently spending on cable, it is truly astonishing how freewheeling you could be about buying media left and right.
Yeah. I do the same thing with all of my medical prescriptions.
I
feel the symptoms. And then I'm like, I think my frustration, and it's the old man main here, speaking from here we go again, is somebody announces a platform, they go bring in these big names, you know, from entertainment, you know, Spielberg and everybody else is gonna be creating content. They write big checks to these people and they're like, yeah, I'll put my name and produce something for you there. Meanwhile, I'm gonna go do the thing I really want to go do. And you get content, it's like, it's okay or whatever. And they buy the big names to put it on there, but these aren't people who are, let's say, have track records. You know, we were just talking about before, like before we started this episode, like I love the internet because like I find a documentary somebody made on a virtual reality company from the 90s, and it's great. We talk about Defunct Land, and it's great. And it's guys like Brian and Justin who've spent years learning how to make content for this platform.
Yeah.
Where, you know, these other platforms could be like, maybe it'd be great, but it's like, oh, we'll get this famous person, you know, and we'll make content for it. And we've seen this with a lot of these podcast startups, whatever. And the content's just, it's an afterthought to the people they bring in. And it ends up just withering away.
Yeah. Because it's not like, you know, like Luminary or whatever went and spent a bunch of money on a bunch of big names, but they're just like, oh, they're basically the same impulse that if you're like a fan, if you want to join a fan club, like, why do you want to listen to Trevor Noah's podcast? Is it Trevor Noah doing something that's interesting? Because I know a little bit about Trevor Noah. I don't like him enough that I need to listen to his podcast, but if it was like Trevor Noah doing a thing that leveraged what I know about him in an interesting way, then maybe I'd pay attention to it. Like,
or giving super secret behind the scenes sauce on your favorite show. Or,
whatever, right. Whatever. You know, whatever. I don't know. The celebrity idea of podcasting is like fascinating.
Well, because like the whole pitch is like, I'm here, more of me.
Yeah.
And you look at, you know, I love looking at counterexamples of things that just should not work but are extremely successful. You know, if you showed somebody 4 minutes, 5 minutes of the Joe Rogan podcast,
yeah,
or the Joe Rogan show, you'd be like, how is this going to work? These comedians, there aren't any jokes. This is going to be fail.
Yeah.
Yet it's...
He's Boy Oprah.
Boy Oprah.
Boy Oprah.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. So,
well, we did it. We fixed the internet. You're welcome, internet.
Yeah. Oh, but we point out what we, well, I mean, this is telling you what works on the internet. And it's like, pay attention to what works on the internet. That's
I just realized I have to go pick my kid up from the bus. So, my pick is still the three body problem. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Do you have a pick, Andrew?
My pick is going to be the pick that I am going to say.
I got one if you don't, if you want to.
Yeah, we can.
If you want a moment.
I always go last, guys. It's not use you guys to figure it out.
you got some juice?
I do, yeah.
What do you got?
So I'd actually be curious if you guys listen to it, because I think it would be best enjoyed by people that are unfamiliar with this story. But 30 for 30, the ESPN documentary brand, has a new podcast series called The Sterling Affairs. Mr. Sterling was the owner of the LA Clippers. Okay. And a few years ago, the extraordinary action was taken by the league to strip him of his team, because a series of tapes leaked about with horrifyingly racist language on it. So if you are unfamiliar with who Donald Sterling is, the content of these tapes, the characters that emerged around it. It is a sports story that does not focus on, there's like an episode that focuses on a game, and everything that is important about that episode is about what the players are going to do in reaction to this news story during the game. It's not about X's and O's. It's not about points and winning. And I will just say, it contains just movie level caricature humans. They are bizarre. I'd be curious to see what non-sports fans think, because I liked it, but also this didn't happen all that long ago, and so a lot of the stuff that I heard, while shocking and ridiculous, is stuff that I remember from fairly recent history. But for people who have never heard it, man, there are some lines that I don't even want to spoil, because they are
cartoonish,
like ridiculous. Yeah. I want to spoil just one element, that Donald Sterling goes on a redemption tour after all of this has broken, and does one of the most bizarre interviews with Anderson Cooper you have ever heard. Well worth it. Oh, go listen.
Cool. I'll check that out. 30 for 30.
You know, podcast. When you're, you know, owner of a sports team and a super wealthy man dating an incredibly hot, much, much younger woman who maybe you let her see people on the side and she brings them to the game, it can be complicated.
There's A lot of complications. A lot of complications. And it really, the person that gets interviewed of the principals, Donald Sterling doesn't get interviewed and the mistress doesn't get interviewed, but they have obviously provided a lot of tape that fills out the story. Mm-hmm. But Donald Sterling's wife does extensively get interviewed. And there's some stuff that I probably knew at the time, but some like real cloak and dagger stuff as we get to the end of exactly how all this went down, because this entire issue pops up, as you find out in the first 2 minutes of the podcast, because the mistress and the wife get into a fight.
Oh,
and that
wow.
sets all of the dominoes that fall in this story.
Oh, wow. Cool. I got a pick. I have been kind of, I've fallen back into this. It is Grand Theft Auto Online. It is a multiplayer version of GTA 5, which is, you know, the big open world shooting and crime game. It's really fascinating to see what they've done with multiplayer for Grand Theft Auto games over the years. You know, the past one for GTA 4 only had like one-on-one multiplayer. You would load into the same world and you would just kind of play around together. But here they've really built it out like an MMO sort of grind, where you're going and doing missions and you're lobbying up with people and their races and treasure hunts and all sorts. Like they've filled out they've made like an infinite version of
GTA,
and it's interesting, especially just because it still has to deal with like all the things that online games have to deal with, like hacking and updates and how do you
gold farming, economy, and character selling,
but it's really interesting, and I am managing to have a good amount of time with it in the way that I don't normally do with MMO types of games. I think because so much of this is built around playing either mostly by yourself or occasionally with a friend. But it's cool, and it like comes free with GTA 5. So millions of people have the game just by virtue of having.
So there's just a huge game. Install base.
Yeah,
gotcha.
So that's check it out.
My pick is Always Amazing.
Oh, you loved it. Or you liked it?
So, for those of you who know, Always Amazing was the other Amazing Jonathan documentary.
Ah, yes.
And it is nowhere near as polished. It's nowhere near has the production quality of the one on Hulu. Mm-hmm. But for my money, for having – it's available. You can watch it for free on YouTube. For having heart and actually telling a story about – the character, thought it was really well done. Really enjoyed it. I was very, very happy with it. I mean, again, it doesn't have the polish, and it spends a lot of time, you know, focusing on his relationship with this guy you see here, who we saw in the Hulu doc. Do you know who he is?
No.
The Hulu documentary?
No.
He was basically Jonathan's manager for like 15 years. Found him when he was a 12-year-old kid, came to a show in Australia, was a super huge fan, became almost like a son to Jonathan, and basically worked with Jonathan for over a decade.
Wow.
Yeah. Wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it. You would just think he was some guy MC from the other one. Turns sure. out this is a guy that was around it. And you talk about, you know, the drug use is on totally discussed here. It's very much on display there. They get into that. And again, it's not, you know, the Hulu one is extremely polished, but my problem is it's not about Jonathan, and the story that it does tell to me just felt false and fake and was just trying to do something different than the other one.
Yeah.
But,
and we talked about it at length last week. So go find that episode. Yeah. We certainly went in depth on the Hulu one, but you're saying this one,
it's a contrast. I'm just saying my point is that this is, again, it doesn't have the polish of that, but it has the story. It has the story, and it's there's a very interesting story there. So
cool. And check it out. Always amazing.
Yeah. Cool. It's been after.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.